1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've been doing a study on the person of the Holy Spirit, and this is session number 6. I like teaching things in series because it gives you an opportunity to learn a lot, and we can gain a thorough understanding of the subject. And we've talked about a lot of things so far. The one thing that I want to impress upon you this morning is the importance of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. Remember, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I will not leave you orphans, but I'll send you another comforter, another helper. And that word literally means one who's called alongside to help. Don't neglect the help that God has sent to you. He is the third person of the Godhead. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He comes to make His home in you. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He rests upon you. And He does that to equip you to serve. And so we've talked about a lot of things in these series. You can go back and get the CDs or go online and find some of the lessons. But I want to pick up where we left off last week. We talked about the importance of spiritual language or speaking with tongues. There again, the Bible is so full of information. We need to be mature in our understanding of spiritual things. You know, there are some things that you don't need to be a child when it comes to that subject. Now, when it comes to being, you know, mean and ornery and, you know, walking in malice and stuff like that, you need to be like a child. You know, you get angry this morning, you're fine this afternoon. That's what children do. But when it comes to spiritual things, we need to be like adults. We don't need to be childlike in our understanding of spiritual things. But yet ignorance abounds in the body of Christ. But I do more teaching than preaching. And so part of my assignment is to explain these things so that you can understand them and practice them. Everybody with me? And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll begin with verse 1. Paul, writing to this Gentile church, said, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now there again, as I said last week, the word gifts is italicized in the King James New Testament. That means that word is not in the original text. It was added by the translators for clarification. But what he literally said was, Now concerning the Greek word pneumatikos, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. What is pneumatikos? That is simply things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. So concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. So God didn't want them to be ignorant. Guess what? He doesn't want you to be ignorant. We need to be mature in our understanding of spiritual things and spiritual gifts. Now, let's go a little further and go down to verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, the Holy Spirit has come, and He's distributed gifts. And that word gifts does not mean something that becomes your possession that you can do with as you will, but literally, it's a word that means endowments. In other words, God has endowed each and every one of us in the body of Christ with certain abilities. And we'll see how these abilities operate in and through us. Then He said, there are diversities of gifts, but one Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but one Lord. And God is the one who works all these gifts in all these ministries. And we need to be mature in our understanding of spiritual gifts and how they operate. Now, let's move forward. Verse 7, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Underline that word in your Bible. Every. Now, of course, the word man does not just mean male, but it means mankind. And so God has distributed to everyone in the body of Christ gifts and graces to benefit the entire body. Notice what he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, underline that word every again, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now here we have a list, if you will, of what is commonly referred to as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Galatians, there's also another list with reference to the Holy Spirit that talks about fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, goodness, meekness, gentleness, faithfulness. So we have two lists, fruit and gifts. And remember, Jesus talked about two dimensions of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit within, a well of water springing up into eternal life. And the Spirit upon, rivers of living water. That well will sustain us. And I've shared before that the Holy Spirit works in us for the purpose of developing our character, making us more like Jesus. And if you're more like Jesus, you'll bear fruit that looks just like Him. Are you with me? Remember when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches? All right, where's the fruit grow? On the branches. But you're connected to the vine. We're connected to Jesus. And so because of the Holy Spirit living within, we bear fruit that looks just like Him. Now we have a list of gifts. And with the Holy Spirit resting upon us, then the Holy Spirit will manifest Himself just like He did in the life of Jesus and in the life of others. Now this is important. You've got to understand this. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to come alongside and help us. The Holy Spirit has distributed these things to each and every one of us in our own personal lives. No place in the Bible does it say the gifts of the Spirit have been given to the preachers so that they could la-di-da-di-da. No, He's given to every man, to every woman, endowments of the Spirit to profit the entire body. But if we're ignorant about spiritual things, it'll never happen. See what I mean? So we need to be mature in our understanding. Now, let's get into this so that you can easily understand the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit shows up, what does He do? Well, in this list, there are 9 gifts. 3 of them say something. 3 of them reveal something. And 3 of them do something. That's a simple way to understand the manifestations of the Spirit. There are 3 gifts or manifestations that say something. Those are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. There are 3 gifts or manifestations that reveal something. And those are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. What do I mean, reveal something? Remember when Jesus was building his team, and one of the men brought his brother, Nathanael. Philip had Nathanael come, and he said, "Come meet a man. He's the Messiah." And he said, "Really? Who is he?" He said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "Where's he from?" He says, "From Nazareth." And you know, Nathanael, being the astute, critical guy that he was, says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of that town? You kidding me?" But he went with him. And so as they're coming up to Jesus looks at Philip and Nathanael. He says to Nathanael, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said, do I know you? He said, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. Not only did he see him, he heard what he said. Now, Nathanael was miles away from where Jesus was, but yet Jesus knew what he had said and he saw him. How did he do that? By the Spirit? He saw him sitting under that fig tree and heard what he said. These gifts have been in manifestation all throughout the Bible. And at times, the Holy Spirit will manifest himself through you for a purpose. These things just don't happen in church. Y'all with me? And so there are three gifts that reveal something. Then there are three gifts that do something. Those are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. So we'll talk about all these manifestations of the Spirit because they're here for a purpose. Amen? Now let's start with the vocal gifts, the gifts that say something. And that will hook up with what we were talking about last week. Now, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at one verse, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Notice what it says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he goes on and says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Have all gifts of healing? No. Do all have diverse kinds of tongues or speak with tongues? No. And then he goes on to say that we should covet earnestly the best gifts, and then he shifts and starts talking about agape, love. Love is the motivation for the gifts of the Spirit. You can speak with tongues, you can have prophecy, you can have revelation, but if you don't operate in love, it means nothing. Amen. In other words, you'll do more harm than good. You with me? Amen. You'll do more harm than good. And so love is the motivation and the catalyst for everything that God does. Think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. What was the motivation for Jesus going to the cross? Love. What is the motivation for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? God loves people so much, he wants to help them. Amen. And he wants to help them supernaturally. Not only that, he wants to help them supernaturally through you. Amen. Because everybody doesn't come to church. There's a revelation for most people. Everybody doesn't come to church. So if we're going to have an impact and influence people, we got to impact and influence them where they are. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. Amen. And he'll help you supernaturally. He'll take you beyond your ability. See, we often are so selfish in our thinking, Lord, if I can just live right, if I can just get to heaven, I'll be happy. Well, that's great. What about your friends and relatives and loved ones? You know, don't be so selfish. God wants to bless the people around you. Amen. And he'll do it through you if you understand how he works. Amen. Amen? Amen? Now, there are three gifts that say something. Prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. What are those? Well, the Bible tells us what they are and how they operate. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 1. Everybody with me? Yes. If you got it, say, I got it. Yes. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks to men, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Notice verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, here Paul the Apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us there are two dimensions of tongues. There is tongues, not only the... And this is where so many Pentecostal people get stuck. Everybody say stuck. We've seen through the Bible that when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues, they prophesied. And there are so many Christian people who think that, well, if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I've arrived. And somehow they think that if they're filled with the Holy Ghost and they speak with other tongues, now they can wear that Holy Ghost merit badge and they've attained some level of spiritual maturity and they can rest on their laurels. And for many of them, listen to me, for many of them, that's the last time they speak with tongues. That's the last time they speak with tongues. Or the only time they speak with tongues is when they get a feeling. You ever been in church and had a feeling? You ever been in church and felt the presence of God? Got those goosebumps going? You know what I mean? Got that little thing running up and down your spine? You wanted to get out of the pew and run? Anybody ever been there? Well, you can do it here. That's fine. Just don't hurt anybody. See, and now listen, this is where we need to be mature in our understanding. Many times the presence of God comes on us for a reason. But if we don't understand how He works, what He does, when He comes on us, we'll react. And maybe we'll shout. Maybe we'll jump. We'll run. We'll dance. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But He comes to do more than make you shout, make you run, make you dance. He comes to do more. And we need to understand what He comes to do. Many times He'll want to say something. Many times He'll want to reveal something. Other times He'll want you to do something. But the Holy Spirit is more than just the presence of God coming on you to make you feel good. Many people are filled with the Holy Spirit, step into the doorway of the supernatural and stop. Don't stop. Keep going. Amen. Keep going. In other words, you need to speak with tongues often. But in your own private prayer time, in your own private devotional time, Paul said, I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. Now, he's talking about a different dimension. He's talking about in a public forum, in a public assembly. Tongues, the prayer language, is given to you so that you can edify yourself, so that you can speak secrets with God, because no man understands him. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I just love the way the Scripture explains things. It's so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue... Now, what is he talking about? Prayer. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. The word understanding is the Greek word nous, and it literally means the mind or things that go through the mind. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding or my mind is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Notice this. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, that means in other tongues, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing that he understands not what you said? For verily you gave thanks well, but the other person's not edified. Why? They don't understand spiritual things. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Now, Paul spoke with tongues a lot, more than this whole church. Well, when did he speak with tongues? In his own private prayer time. But when he ministered to them in a public forum, in a public assembly, he did it in a language that they could understand. So there are two dimensions of tongues. There's tongues, the prayer language, that each and every one of us can exercise when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But our mind doesn't understand it. God has not designed tongues to be understood by your mind. But when you pray in tongues, we pray from our spirit unto God. But there's another dimension of tongues that's referred to as diverse kinds of tongues. And that is tongues that are given in a public forum, in a public assembly. Now, I have rarely been used with diverse kinds of tongues. I can think of maybe three times. One time I was in a church service and the Holy Spirit gave me a song, but the song was not in English. Now, what do you do with that one? Amen? Well, I know the Holy Spirit well enough to trust Him. And so I had this urging on the inside of me. And generally, when the Lord uses me like that, I only have the first sentence. That's all I got. And so I started singing this song in another tongue. And it had a melody to it. And I knew that it would bless people. Now, after I sang that song in tongues, hadn't blessed anybody but me because I knew I obeyed the Lord, right? But after I finished that song, the interpretation came. And I sang the interpretation. And it was a cute little ditty of a song. Are you with me? And I just trusted the Lord and gave it. Now, there have been times when I prophesied. And it's not something that I want to do. It's not something that I sat up the night before and thought about, but many times it's something that happens in a moment. And there are times the Holy Spirit will come on you and you know He's given you something. Amen. See, and I know well enough that it's not a time for me to run, shout, dance, and, you know, have a, as Brother Marcel says, have a Holy Ghost spell. You with me? You ever been around somebody had a Holy Ghost spell? Hey, thank God, I'd rather have a little crazy stuff than deadness. You with me? I'd rather have that than deadness. I was sharing with somebody last week that there have been times the Spirit of God has come on me to say something, and it doesn't mean that you have to do it like me. Because there are many different ways that He operates the gifts through different ministries. But I remember one of the first times I was sitting in class at Rhema. And they were pretty strict about, you know, conducting things in the classroom at the Bible college. You didn't prophesy in class. You with me? You don't do that. But the Spirit of God came on me and I just wrote it down. And this was for the people who were in my class. And this is what He said. Go, and all I had when I came up was the first sentence. Go and be my spokesman. Proclaim the trumpet sound. Go and be my mouthpiece and let victory resound. Go and carry my name and stand bold in my stead. Go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. Go into the uttermost parts of the earth where seemingly no man has been. Go with assurance and confidence, for it's my spirit that works within. Amen. Now that just blessed my socks off. You with me? Amen. And that came in a moment. I couldn't have thought that up. I couldn't have written that. I'm not a poet. Are you with me? But that edified, that exhorted, that comforted. But when it came, the words rose up on the inside of me. All I had was the first sentence. Now what do you do with that? I'll show you how Jesus did it. You with me? Amen. There was another time we were worshiping God in our worship service. And I've shared this before, but the Holy Spirit came on me. Now, listen, I am not preaching that Sunday morning. I'm in the service worshiping God like everybody else. The pastor is preaching. I'm the associate pastor. And so whenever that happens, I always get whoever's leading the meeting their attention. Because normally whoever is leading the meeting has a sense or knows what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so I got the pastor's attention and I said, He's given me something. Now, had the pastor said, Bill, sit on it, not today, I would have been just fine. You know why? I'm motivated by love. Amen. I'm motivated by love. And if he'd have told me, keep your mouth shut today, we're not hearing it, cool. He's the pastor. I'm not. You with me? See, but if I'm not motivated by love, then I'm going to get all upset because you didn't let me prophesy. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I've seen people do that. I've seen people prophesy angry. Angry. Mad. You know, I'm thinking, oh God, what is this, man? But anyway, I got the pastor's attention. And we were singing about worship. And he said, give it. And all I had, Pat, was the first sentence. That's it. All I had was one sentence. And I got to trust God. I got to get up in front of all these people and say this thing. And I don't know what's coming next. You ever been there? And so all I had was worship and praise. That's where you need to be. And those words rose up in me. So I got the pastor's attention. I said, Pastor Lee, I said, I got a word. He said, give it. And so the musicians calmed down. Everybody piped down. Listen, I said, worship and praise. That's where you need to be. And then the rest of it started to flow. Worship and praise. That's what sets the captive free. Worship and praise. That's what you need to do when all hell breaks loose and the devil gets on you. Worship and praise. It'll change your life. It'll rid your household of hatred and strife. Worship and praise is where mercy and grace abound. Worship and praise will cause you to live on higher ground. All that came in a moment. It blessed my socks off. You know, and I share it here 20-some years later. It's still good. Why? Because it's still true. Amen? But many times he'll do that. I wish I could do that every day. I can't. I wish I could do it once a month. I can't. I can only do it when His presence is there and those words come. Notice these things happen as He wills. Amen. I can't prophesy at the drop of a hat. And anybody who tells you that they can, they're lying. Amen. And there are guys out there who purport that, you know, I'll prophesy to you. Yeah, okay. What they do is they prophesy out of their own spirit or head. And that's why it's very nondescript, vague, and general. But the Holy Spirit is always very specific. Amen. And there have been times when prophets had revelation, and it's revealed in the Bible. And they not only said something, but God revealed something to them, and they were always very specific. I remember when Nathan the prophet came to David, after David had killed Uriah, and taken his wife and committed adultery. Thought nobody knew. Covered it up. This thing looked good from the outside. And so Nathan comes to him and said, you know, King David, I got to tell you a story. He said, sure. He said, man, there was a fellow who had a little sheep. One precious sheep that was so precious to him. And another man who had a lot of sheep took his one precious sheep. Stole it from him. And had him killed. And David became angry. He said, whoever that man is, he's going to die. And Nathan the prophet stuck his finger at him and said, you the man, and you have sinned in the eyes of God. And David knew immediately he was exposed. But the thing about David was he was a man after God's own heart. He didn't try to justify his sin. He didn't try to explain it away. He said, I repent. I am wrong. You got me. You know? And Nathan said, and the Lord has put away your sin. Forgiveness came that fast. But he told him, you're going to have trouble because of what you did. You with me? And so Nathan was very specific. And so there are times the Holy Spirit will manifest himself that way. And it's very specific. There are times the Holy Spirit will manifest himself. And it's kind of general. Hey, if it fits you, grab it. Grab it. I remember one time the Spirit of God came on me. I was standing right over there. And I said, don't quit. It's not too late. If you'll grasp my word and walk in my ways, I'll bless your life and lengthen your days. That just came by the Spirit. And people testified to me after service. Pastor Bill, that was for me. You never know. But the Holy Spirit does. And so there are times He will reveal things or inspire you to say things that will do one of three things. Edify, that means you build people up. exhort, that means you encourage them, or to comfort. And it's a supernatural utterance in a language that you know that does one of the three: edification, exhortation, and comfort. Simple prophecy has nothing to do with the future. Absolutely nothing. Now, when you look up the word prophet or prophecy, there is always an assumption that it has something to do with the future. But simple prophecy doesn't. Now, there are times a prophet will have revelation, and these gifts sort of piggyback together and connect with each other. Are you with me? Like Nathan the prophet. He went to David because the Holy Ghost revealed to him what had happened and told him what to say to the king and told him what would be the result. How did Nathan know that? He wasn't there. He didn't. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Are you with me? So when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, there are three gifts or manifestations that say something. Prophecy is just one of them. Diverse kinds of tongues is another, but diverse kinds of tongues is for a public forum and needs to be interpreted. Amen. So it would not be biblical scriptural for somebody to just stand up here like I'm doing and give you a message in other tongues because you wouldn't understand a word I said. I would need somebody to interpret what was said, and that would be a blessing. I've seen people who had that ministry, and it's just awesome, amazing. I remember when I first went to Bible college, I went to a great church in Tulsa, and our pastor and his wife flowed that way. Tongues with interpretation. Never saw anything like it. And I'm sitting there, I'm blown away. And the pastor's wife would get up and she'd give a message in tongues. And she'd walk down the aisle and she'd be doing all these gestures. And her husband, after she was done, would get up and he'd give the interpretation. He'd given all the same gestures, only given it in English, and he would read people's mail. Simply amazing. That is a valid New Testament ministry gift. Amen. Well, Pastor Young, I don't see much of that. Yes, and we're worse off because of it. Amen? We're worse off because of it. But my job is to teach and equip you so that you recognize these things, and when the Holy Spirit moves upon you, you can flow with it. Amen? You can flow with it. I would love for nothing more than to be in a position where people come to me and say, well, Pastor Young, I've been diagnosed with this condition, and I can point at somebody and say, go see Alonzo, he'll get you healed. Because he's anointed that way. You with me? To think that everything has to come through the pastor is a mistake. Because the pastor's only one person and they can't do it all. And God has not given the gifts of the Spirit to the pastor, he's given them to the body. He's given them to every man to profit withal. Years ago, I ran into a fella. He was kind of strange. Everybody say strange. Now, the Holy Spirit can flow through you. You don't have to be strange. You know, you don't have to do all the crazy stuff that people do. You know, if there's one thing that I'm very cautious about, and it's this, being critical of others. And recently I had to repent because I sort of got back over into that area, and I would teach people this is wrong and that is wrong. And you know what the Lord told me years ago? I was doing that. I was teaching people, well, this church teaches that, that's wrong, and this minister does. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He spoke to me. He speaks to you too. He spoke to me, and this is what he said. And he speaks to you on a level where you get it. You know what he said to me? He said, you ain't the sheriff of the church. That's what he said. You ain't the sheriff of the church. He didn't say ain't. He said, you're not the sheriff of the church. And I got it. I said, Lord, you're right. He said, let me deal with those people. You teach the truth. I said, yes, sir. So recently I started to get over in that area again. And the Lord reminded me, he said, that's not what I told you to do. I said, yes, sir. I remember. I'm not the sheriff. You know, I always think of that Eric Clapton song. I shot the sheriff, but I put my own spin on it. I'm not the sheriff. Well, Pastor Young, what do you think about this guy and his teaching? It's wrong. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Amen? But my job is to teach you the truth of God's Word. Amen. Now listen, there are three gifts or manifestations that say something. Prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And in order for diverse kinds of tongues to be effective, there needs to be an interpreter. So if God has graced you that way and you give that message, He will normally give you the interpretation too, if there's somebody there not to interpret it. Now, we need to understand, be mature in our understanding of these things. I was in a meeting many years ago, and we had a minister come in. I was an associate pastor at another church. This minister came in and held a 3-week revival. And towards the end of those 3 weeks, pastors started coming from all over town. And I remember towards the end of those meetings, we were in that house, Reverend Carr's church. And it was in the church, not the house, but I call it the house of God. And it's full of all these preachers sitting all over. And so the man who led the meeting, Robin Roberts, said to Pastor Dumont from Erie Christian Fellowship, said, "Pastor Jim, I've got a message for you from the Lord, and I'm going to give it to you the way He gave it to me, in other tongues." And then he looked at me and he said, "And Brother Young's going to give you the interpretation." And so he proceeded to minister to Pastor Dumont in other tongues. Now, I had no idea this was coming. I normally don't function and flow that way. But Robin Roberts had seen what the Lord was going to do that night. So what did I do? Most people that I know would be sitting there, "Oh, Jesus, ooh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Give me something to..." No, I was cold as a cucumber. You know why? Because if the Lord didn't say anything to me, I was going to sit there and smile and keep my mouth shut. I don't have to make anything up. But when Robin Roberts finished giving that message in other tongues, something rose up on the inside of me. It was the interpretation. And all I had was the first sentence. Another step, another turn. That's where I started. And then the Holy Spirit began to minister to Pastor Dumont through tongues with interpretation. Well, his ministry took another step. He made a turn, and look what God has done. Amen? I was in a meeting in St. Louis once. And we're having a joint service with another church. And it was during a time of worship. That's why worship's so important. See, worship's not a time to look at the praise team and say, "Oh, you know, look at their shoes. Oh, those are nice. I like that scarf, you know." You know, it's not the time to sit there and say, "Oh, okay, Lord, I guess I'll wake up now." You know, no, you ought to come to church loaded for bear. You know? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "How is it when you come to church, every one of you has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpret..." They came loaded for bear. They came ready. They didn't come to get wakened up so they could hear the preacher talk. No, they were loaded for bear. They had something to share when they showed up. Why? Because they'd been praying in the Holy Ghost before they got there. They'd been worshiping God before they got there. And so, we're in this service, it's during this time of praise and worship. And I never will forget, we had the service down on Page Boulevard near downtown St. Louis. And the Spirit of God, words rose up on the inside of me. And so I got the leader's attention. I said, "You know, the Lord gave me something. I don't do this every week. I only do it when I know I'm prompted." And the pastor said, "Give it." And so everybody quieted down, piped down, and this is what the Lord said. I said, "You've come this far, talking to two different church groups now, and all the leaders are there. You've come this far, and you've seen several stages. But now it's time to make a move that'll affect a multitude throughout all ages. Set your sights not just on the area round about, but set your sights on the city, for in it there's a great drought. A drought for the Word of God, a drought for the moving of My Spirit, a drought for the name of Jesus, yet there's a multitude that'll hear it." That was it. That was it. The Holy Spirit was giving us instruction that we need to not focus on the suburbs, but focus on the inner city. Because there were people there waiting to hear. So there are times the Holy Spirit will give you inspiration, inspired utterance in a language that you know, that'll have an element of revelation to it. He'll reveal some things. Amen. Now, I didn't spend the whole night making that up. I have no motive to do that. It happened in a moment. Well, why did it happen? I don't know. Ask God. Now, listen. When it comes to prophecy, an inspired utterance in a language that is known, or whether it's diverse kinds of tongues with interpretation, we need to, listen to me, judge what is said. Let's be mature in our understanding. People get up and they prophesy all kind of goofy stuff. Is it scriptural? Does it line up with the Word? Does it edify? Does it exhort? Does it comfort? We need to judge what is said, not judge the person. You with me? I've heard people prophesy some crazy stuff. You know, I heard one person prophesy, "Yea, saith the Lord." I get scared too. I'm like, no. No place in the Bible does it ever say God was afraid of anything. You know? Well, what happened there? Was that not God? Was that the devil? No, that person just got excited and thought they heard something and they spouted off and some of them rubbed off. You know, a lot of times you put water through a pipe, some of the pipe runs off. You know what I mean? If the pipe's got dirt in it, you get mud coming out of the other end. Doesn't mean God wasn't moving, just moved you got some of them in the mix. You with me? Amen. Or sometimes people are prophesying out of this, their head, because of what they know. That's why many times when I minister to people, I don't really want to know a lot of stuff. Before I minister on Sunday morning, I don't want to talk to anybody in a deep conversation. I don't want to hear all your trouble. Talk to me after. You know what I mean? Because if I minister to you, I want to minister by the Spirit, not out of my head. I want to minister out of my heart. Y'all with me? Now, let me give you an example of this principle of inspired utterance so that you can see how the Holy Spirit does it. Turn with me in your Bibles to Job chapter 32. This is a great example of this principle. Job chapter 32. And this is a very telling account of what happened in this discourse with Job and his three friends. Job is just before Psalms. And this is one of the keys to the book and tells us what really happened to Job. But a young man named Elihu came on the scene and he started to tell the truth about what really happened to Job. But Elihu said this, Job chapter 32, verse 6, "And Elihu the son of Bethuel the Buzite answered and said, 'I'm young and you're very old, therefore I was afraid and I didn't show you my opinion. I said days should speak and the multitude of years should teach wisdom.'" In other words, you guys are old enough, you ought to know what you're talking about, but you don't. Then he said in verse 8, "But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." Then he said this in verse 18, "For I am full of matter." The word matter literally means words. "The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is as wine which has no vent. It's now ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer." In other words, Elihu is saying, you know, you think you know what you're talking about because of your wisdom and your years, but God tells the truth in the spirit of a man. And I am full of words. And I've got to open my mouth or it seems like I'm going to bust. You know what I mean? And so these words came up, welled up on the inside of him. And he spoke them. Now, many times that's how the Holy Spirit will move upon somebody with vocal gifts. The words will rise up on the inside of them. Now, if you don't have an opportunity to share it right then, trust me, it will keep. You with me? Now, there are times we need to catch what the Spirit is saying at that moment because it'll have more of an impact. And so that's how it works with me many times. Now, listen, I've heard people prophesy and what they said didn't rhyme like it has with me. That's just how God uses me. It doesn't have to rhyme. You with me? But there are times you can say something very simple and it'll have an impact on somebody's life forever. And so vocal gifts, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are things that we need to have an operation in our lives and in our ministries on a consistent basis. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You guys learning anything? Yes. Hallelujah. Now, there are times the Holy Spirit will say things And it's not always pleasant. You with me? I was teaching a new members class one time. And Spirit of God came on me. I knew I had that first sentence. And the pastor wasn't there, but the pastor's wife was. So I looked at Doris Rice. I said, Doris, the Lord gave me a word. She said, give it. And this is what he said. What's to happen in the age to come? Will the life be manifested in the many or just in some? It'll be determined by obedience and steadfast love. It's not based on me moving, but what's done below, not above. Many will grow old in fullness of joy. Others will fall short, for they handle the things of God like a toy. Steadfastness is developed in obedience and love. So set your mind on heavenly things. Keep your heart pure. Be sincere in your worship, and you will endure. Came in a moment. Came in a moment. And I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to say. Now, he didn't say it. I said it. But I had those words rise up on the inside of me. But, you know, that's that others will fall short for they handle the things of God like a toy. You don't want to say stuff like that. You with me? You just want everybody to be blessed and eat candy when they leave. That's are you with me? But there are times the Holy Spirit will reveal things, and it's not always a bless me club. Y'all with me? Amen. I mean, think about what happened that time when Ananias and Sapphira came to church at two different times. First, Ananias came in, and they're taking up an offering. And he brings this offering up and lays it at the feet of the apostles and said, I had this piece of property and I sold it and this is the 100% of the proceeds. And Peter looked at him and the Holy Ghost revealed something to Peter. He said, Ananias, is this what you sold the land for? Now, why did he ask him that question? The Holy Ghost was trying to give him a way out. Trying to get him to fess up and tell the truth because he just lied in front of everybody. Peter said, is this what you really sold the land for? Oh, yes, that's 100% of the proceeds. And Peter said, see the ushers back there? Ananias looked down the aisle and said, yeah. He said, they're going to take you out and bury you. And the man hit the floor dead. Now, good Lord, I don't want stuff like that happening in church. Y'all with me? Neither do you. And then hours later, here comes Sapphira. She probably went to the mall. And she come prancing down the aisle. And Peter said, Sapphira, come here, baby. And she came on up there. He said, you know, your husband was here earlier. And he brought us a big offering and said, that's what you sold the land for, 100%. Is that really what you sold it for? Oh, yes, amen, that's right. We gave 100% to the Lord. And he says, Sapphira, see the ushers down there? She looks and says, yeah, how y'all doing? He said, they just buried your husband. Now they're going to take you out and bury you. She hit the floor dead. You don't want that kind of stuff going on in your church. Are you with me? Amen. That would tend to thin the herd a little bit. You know what I mean? People drop, hey, let's go over to MGCC. People dropping dead over there. No, man, that's not the kind of advertisement you want. The Bible says fear came upon every soul. Scared the daylights out of people. But you know what the Lord was doing? Rooting out corruption before it had a chance to get started. Now, listen, Ananias could have come up there and said, look, I sold my land, and here's half the money. That would have been fine. It was his. He could have done whatever he wanted to it. The problem was he lied to the Holy Ghost. And that's what Peter said. Why have you found fit to lie to the Holy Spirit? See the ushers down there? They're going to go bury you. Boom, hits the floor. I mean, that's not the kind of manifestation we want. Okay? That's not what we want. Notice Acts chapter 13. Notice verse 1 says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, my question is, how did he say it? Did he boom with a megaphone from heaven? No, I don't think so. It came by prophecy or tongues with interpretation. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Then when they fasted some more, they prayed, laid hands on them, and sent them away. Now, here's the thing. God had already called them and put on the inside of them that grace to go out and do what he had called them to do, to lay foundations as apostles. Apostles, not a title, it's a function. And they preached the gospel in these regions where they'd never heard it before. And God had graced them with supernatural equipment to get the job done. But these men already knew on the inside of them. What happened in that meeting was a public confirmation of what God had already put in their heart. Listen to me very carefully. Don't ever do something just because somebody prophesied for you to do it. You have to run everything that's said through two filters. Number one, what does God's word say? Number two, do I have that witness in my own spirit? Because remember, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Amen. I can't tell you how many times women have come to me and said, Pastor Young, you know, this man prophesied to me and said, I'm supposed to marry him. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, what is God saying to you? He ain't told me nothing. I said, you better run, girl. God knows your address. He'll put your mail in your mailbox. Don't marry somebody just because they said, the Lord told me to tell you. You know, that always makes you get your defenses up. The Lord told me to tell you. Uh-oh. You know. What does God's word say, number one? And do I have the witness of that in my spirit, number two? And it's always good to get godly counsel. Ask somebody. Call me. Amen. You with me? You know, I get letters all the time from people who, you know, say that, you know, the Lord told me to contact you because my relative passed away and left me this large amount of money. And, you know, I can't, I just want to bless your ministry. I got a letter like that the other day, just last week, from a Nigerian. I want to bless your ministry. And I have $4.8 million in this account in London, and I just need you to contact me. Give me your bank account information so that I can steal all your money. Yeah. Well, just because they said the Lord told them to contact me doesn't mean he did. Are you with me? They've been scamming like that for decades. But why do they do stuff like that? Because P.T. Barnum coined a phrase that is probably going to be immortal. There's a sucker born every minute. Don't fall for stuff just because somebody prophesied it. Are you with me? Amen. Run it through filter number one. What does God's word say? Run it through filter number two. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me on the inside? And if you're not sure, call your pastor. Amen? Amen. I'll help you out. Amen? But many times people have, under the guise of prophecy, have done things and it's cost them dearly. Brother Heidelberg and I both know a ministry that was strong and powerful here in the city. And somebody prophesied to the pastor, this is what the Lord says, you're supposed to go on the road and preach on the road. And so he did. His church crumbled, became nothing, his marriage fell apart. And today he's not even in the ministry. Am I right? Not even in the ministry. Why? Because he did what somebody prophesied. Don't you know the devil wants to get you off track? And if he can do it under the guise of a spiritual gift, he knows there's a sucker born every minute. And he'll run it by you. I've had people prophesy to me some outrageous stuff. I had a lady prophesy to me one time, you're going to be a teacher in our Bible school. You're going to teach this class and that class and this class and that class. We got the curriculum all laid out. And the Lord had told me to do something else. You know, go learn something. And she said to me, with pride, do you notice how I didn't ask you if you wanted to do this? That's what she said to me. I said, well, yeah, I kind of picked up on that. She said, the Lord showed it to me. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And I went on and did what God told me to do. I wasn't studying that woman. Why? She was wrong. Was she used of the devil? No, she just missed it. She was sincere, but she was sincerely wrong. So I ran it through the filter of what did the Lord tell me to do in my own spirit? And that wasn't it. Come to find out years later, they never had a church, never had the Bible school. And had I listened to her, I'd have messed up 2 years of my life. And all of us want that supernatural guidance. Guess what? You got it in the person of the Holy Spirit. And He lives on the inside of you. Amen. And there are times He will confirm that through a vocal gift, if you will. But most of the time, you know on the inside of you what you're supposed to be doing. All you got to do is get up and get at it. Amen. You with me? Get up and get at it. Hallelujah. Okay, we got time for one more scripture? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll close with this. And we'll continue this series because I'm not going to get all this in a couple weeks. Amen. But hopefully you're learning some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's something that Paul the Apostle said about the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which was given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Notice this next verse. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said about the church at Corinth, you are enriched with utterance and with knowledge. What was he talking about? Vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And he said, you come behind in no gift. Now that phrase, come behind, that word literally means you as a church are second to none. Nobody has more manifestations of the Holy Ghost and more gifts in operation than you do. Now listen to me carefully. You would think that because this church had an abundance of spiritual gifts in operation, that it was the most mature church that there was on the earth. It was not. Because he writes in the next chapter, I believe, there are some things I wanted to share with you, but I couldn't because you're carnal. There's envy, strife, division. Aren't you living like unborn again people? You know? He butters them up and then he slaps them down. Literally, what he's trying to get them to do is grow up. Amen. Listen to me. The gifts of the Spirit are not a sign of spiritual maturity. Amen. It's just a sign that you've yielded to God. You with me? Amen. Just because the Holy Spirit uses you does not mean you have arrived. Amen. You with me? This is important to understand. You can be used by God powerfully and be wrong. Well, Pastor Young, I don't believe that. Really? You don't know your Bible. Samson would be used by the Holy Ghost and he'd walk off with the gate of the Philistines, a physical feat that was naturally impossible. He'd go down there, grab the city gates, rip them out of the ground and walk off with them. And Samson was not a big muscle-bound guy. I know he wasn't because his name in Hebrew is Shimshon, little son. He was a little fella. He walked down there, snatched the gates, walk off with them and then sleep with a prostitute. Well, how can that be? Well, the Bible tells it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. Amen. So we can learn what not to do. Now, God used the man. Was he right? No, he was wrong. And eventually it cost him everything. And so don't think that just because somebody prophesies and flows and they have revelation that they got it all together. No, it just means that they were yielded to the Lord. So that means there's hope for you. Amen. You don't have to have it all together. All you have to do is yield to the Lord, and He can use you to be a blessing to other people. Amen? But when it comes to vocal gifts, let's remember, the Holy Spirit does speak through men and through women. But let's run it through the filters. Number one, what does God's Word say? Number two, what is the Holy Spirit saying on the inside of me? We need to judge prophecy. We don't need to judge who said it. We need to judge what was said.
Amen?
Amen? Well, Pastor Young, what do you do if somebody prophesies some nonsense to you? Just forget it. Don't lose any sleep over it. Don't stay up all night fretting and, you know, well, they said, you know, that I was going to have a financial difficulty. Forget that stuff. Be a giver. The Bible says, give and it'll be given unto you again. Put your faith in God's Word, not somebody's prophecy. Amen? And I mean, hey, listen, people get rich off this stuff. Remember Sister Cleo? The psychic hotline? She was cleaning up. Why? Because people wanted direction from God. And I know that a lot of those people that called her and wasted their money were Christians. Want to hear word from the Lord? You want a word from the Lord? Here it is, right here. Get your Bible off the shelf. There's your word from the Lord. Start with Matthew and make a right turn. There's your word from the Lord. Amen. There are times He will speak through the gifts of the Spirit. We just need to know how to cooperate with Him. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord.